Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
My name's Christian, and I always love to share a verse for us before we jump into our main content. And this verse is in Isaiah 55. It says this, it says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything that you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry." Listen to this in verse 11. "It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere that I send it." See, today that promise is actually for here and now as well, that God's word has the ability to prosper wherever he sends it, that it can bear fruit, that God is above us, that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. And although we may not understand everything in our lives or in our circumstances or the things that unfold in front of us, we have this ability to come before God and to trust his word. Just as the rains come down and it bears fruit, as God does that process, it is the same with his word when it is proclaimed, that when we allow it to take root in our hearts, that fruit can come in our lives, amen? And that invitation is for us today, in his promise for us today, if we would choose to allow him to allow his word in our lives. And so before we get going with where we've gone, let's talk a little bit about where we've been. If for some reason this is the first one of the series that you've been in as we're ending this series, we've talked about a lot of amazing pieces. And if you've missed them, you can go back and look at those. Today, we're talking about I am the vine, but we've talked about this series because in the Old Testament, God revealed himself as the God of I am who I am, meaning self-sufficient, that I am God above all other gods. And then when Jesus showed up, he said, I am in all these different statements. And each time he says, I am, the people of the time, they would not use that in their language because of what God had proclaimed in the Old Testament. They knew that God was claiming, Jesus was claiming deity. And that is a lot of the times why you see why they were angry and ready to stone him to death is because he was claiming Godhead. And so we've talked about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. I'm the source of life. I'm the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection, the way, the truth, the life, and today is the vine. And so if you're following us in our notes, that's the section we're in, the vine. And I have John 15 for us today, and there's a lot of scripture in here. It'll be for us on the screen. Don't check out because it's a lot of scripture. There's some powerful statements, and then we're gonna actually unpack almost each one of his statements today as we journey back through after I read. And so this is John 15, verse 1. It says this. It says, I am the grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message that I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything that you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Don't miss this part. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Growing up in the church, my first memories were in youth ministry, where my dad was the youth pastor, and he would take me to camps, and I remember pranking the girl cabins. Those are my first memories, and it was awesome first memories, but I grew up in the church. But from a young age, I allowed the enemy to get me hyper-focused on certain statements in Scripture without knowing the context of the rest of Scripture, and Satan loves to use out-of-context Scripture in our lives. And this is actually one of the passages that scared me as a kid. Here's all I heard in there when I was a kid. I'm a useless branch, that if I walk outside of God at all, that he's gonna throw me away and burn me in a fire. That is what I used to hear as a kid. It's like I didn't even hear the rest. I didn't hear the invitation to come and abide in Christ, that I can remain in his love for me, that in him I can bear fruit. And it's not this threat that it's like, you better remain in me or I'm gonna throw you away and I'm gonna burn you. And that's not the heart here. This is an invitation from God to go, in me, I am love itself. Remain in my love. That in me as I love you, you're gonna produce fruit in your life. I am the vine, I'm the source that gives you what you need. That in me, you're good, come be with me. I didn't hear any of those things. And today, maybe in your life, you have different verses or things in your life that have unfolded that haven't been positive. And God's invite in his word is to step back and look at the whole picture. And so we're gonna break apart each of these today. The first one he says is, he is the vine and we are the branches. Meaning that he is the one that gives us life. That in our walks with God, it says this in Romans, that when we were utterly helpless, think about that word, utterly helpless. When I think of that word, I think of like ugly crying. Have you ever seen ugly crying? Like utterly helpless. Like you're broken, you can't get out of it. And he is the source. We get fruit out of him and his goodness. That when we're utterly helpless, he came for us. He invited us into salvation that we didn't deserve because all of us have gone astray. He is the vine. We are the branches. His next statement is he cuts away branches that don't bear fruit. One of those statements that used to scare me. Any perfectionists in the room? Yes, I'm a perfectionist to the core in some areas. My wife would say in some areas, but really not in other areas, right? There's some things I'm just totally good with. And then there's some things where I'm like, ooh, it's gotta be like, ooh, I gotta. And in this, when I hear he cuts away branches that don't bear fruit, to me, I used to see that as a threat, as I shared. But what is this fruit that it talks about? In the Old Testament, Jesus gives us this picture of branches and fruit and bearing fruit. And he defines it in this passage, which we'll talk more about in a bit. He says, remaining in his love and loving others is the fruit. But later in Galatians, I believe Paul expands on what the fruit is that we can have in our lives. And you see this often in the Gospels where Jesus teaches things like, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can be part of me. And in the time, they're like, what is that? But later, Paul expands on that represented some things. And I believe in Galatians, we get a further picture of this concept of fruit. Because what is this fruit that we are to produce? We know it's love. We know it's loving God and loving others and being loved. But in Galatians, it says this, to help us get a bigger picture here. Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. You see, this fruit that produces in our lives is the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who wants those fruit in your life? It doesn't say here, do more or else fruit. Be good enough or else fruit. Be perfect fruit. He says love and joy. And the joy that it mentions here isn't a joy that's circumstantial. It isn't the joy that has accompanied emotions or pleasant situations. This is a joy that we can have in all circumstances because of what Jesus has done for us, the promise of eternity. You see, in here he says, man, those who are in me will produce fruit. Because when you're walking in the love and the joy and the peace and the, all the things that Jesus is, what comes out of us when you're remaining in him and in those things and in those truths and realities, these the Holy Spirit produces this in our life. Does it say Christian produces that in your life? Does it say you produce it in your life? It says the Holy Spirit. Do we have a part in that though? The Holy Spirit, it says, produces this fruit in us when we come to know Jesus. But it says that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead our lives. That it is a choice to follow God, to remain in God and to remain in him. And he is the branch and we can produce much fruit if we're in him. But it's a choice of dependence. When we choose to follow Christ and remain in him, it's choosing a choice of dependence, depending on what he has done, not what we have done. Depending on how he has dealt with our sins, not how we could, because we couldn't outside of Jesus. And we have a choice as we remain in him, will we allow the Holy Spirit to produce this in our lives? And it's a choice. It's a choice of dependence. And the fruit that it mentions here is that we are to allow love and joy and peace to produce in us. Because when you are walking in yourselves, you've seen the fruit of yourselves, haven't you? What's the fruit of self? Me. I. Selfishness. Pride. Anger. Frustration. I want what I want now, how I want it now. And I don't care about them. It's about me. And where did that leave us? The Bible says, where did that leave you before? Ashamed. How many of you have been ashamed in sin before? And pride and going after the things of the world as an ex-addict. You know, I say this all the time, going for the things of the world and the things of me and temporal satisfaction right now, temporary, right? I want this fixed now and it's about me and I'll steal whatever and do whatever. And maybe that's not your story. It's a different story, but it was still the fruit of self. And the fruit of self leaves you ashamed and guilt-ridden and frustrated and longing for more and searching for more and getting what you desire, which leaves you empty. The fruit of self, I don't know the last time someone snapped at their kid and go, oh, I'm so good at snapping at my kids. I'm really glad I did that. Ooh. Snapping at your wife, oh, I'm so good at this. I'm so glad I just did that. I'm so mean, I'm so good at it. Versus, man, I love them. I put others before myself. I have patience the same way that God is patient with me. How many of you love God's patience? His mercy, his patience with us. How many of us, when we're not remaining in God, our view of God is he's not patient with us. That he's not loving with us, that he's not full of joy for us. It says that he sings joyful songs over us, the Bible says. Says that he's patient with us. You see, if you want the fruit of the Spirit to produce it in you, you have to remain in Christ because it's in Christ that he exhibits these things to us because these are things that he is. He is joy. He is love. He is patience. He is these things. And when you decide to allow these things in your life, you're remaining in him because he is showing those things to you. And then out of those things that you experience in him, we produce these fruits. How many of us need to put down the fruit of self today? Maybe there's an area of your life where you're walking in the fruit of self. me, I, what I want, what I can accomplish. Friends, it doesn't get you anywhere but frustrated. And maybe today you need to go, God, forgive me. I need to remain in you. I need to choose a choice of dependence today, to depend on you and what you have done, but also choose to allow you to lead these things in my life. The next one he says in here is he prunes those who do bear fruit, and that he goes on to say that I've already pruned and purified you by the message that I've given you. So he says, he prunes those who do bear fruit so that they can produce even more fruit. But then he goes on and says, I've already purified and pruned you by the message that I have given you. I want to talk about both of these today. How many of you love the word pruned? Ooh, yes. Just get cut up. You know what's interesting? We talked about this in our staff meeting this last week, that the word pruned and the word purified here, in other translations, it uses the word cleaned. It's a different word, isn't it? But the same root word is the same root word for both of those words. So God wants to clean or purify or prune us. But then he says, I've already cleaned or pruned or purified you by the message that I have given you. You see, God's promises, it says in 1 Peter, are what allows us to escape the world's corruption and share in his divine nature, his promises. And the message that he has given through the gospel is that all of us have gone astray, that none of us deserve heaven, and that in Christ, when we have faith, when we turn from sin, which means we have a heart change for sin, that doesn't mean we don't engage in sin or struggle with sin, but when we do, instead of our heart going that way, we hate sin. Our hearts now have turned against sin, and all who believe and walk in repentance can be redeemed, and that message has purified us, and it has cleansed us, and we get to share in God's nature by his promises. And he has purified us by the message when we believe and receive it. How many of you have believed and received God's promise today? That in your walks with God, not only does he do that by salvation, but he then works in your life. He allows things in your life, sometimes things that are difficult. How many of you have had difficulties in your life walking with Jesus? I don't know about you, but when I first came to the Lord, I thought, man, all I needed to do is change my addictions. And then I found out real quick that the fruit of self went a lot deeper. There's a lot deeper roots than I realized. And God works through his word and through his presence and through his people to help use the church and God's message and God's presence and people to help change us into the image of Christ. That more and more we produce the fruits of Christ in our lives as our hearts change. And that is a process called sanctification that happens from the moment of salvation till the moment you get to heaven where it's made complete. And there's a constant purification process. And sometimes that process doesn't feel good. Sometimes that process is you throwing up your hands, overwhelmed because of what Jesus has done for you and what he's redeemed in your life, and the darkness that you once were in, you're now in the light because he is the light, and the voices you used to listen to, and now you hear your good shepherd and you're overwhelmed that God has saved you. Sometimes that's the process. Sometimes it's, ooh, there's a lot of pride. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of selfishness. And so God sends people in your life who are more prideful and selfish and angry than you are. And he teaches you patience through a process. And you come face to face with, ooh, that's what I do. And he works in your life. Sometimes circumstances that are most unpleasant come into your life. Not that God causes all unpleasant circumstances. We're in a broken world, but he does allow things and he works in us. This example of this in scripture I wanted to hit is in 2 Corinthians 12. And it says that Paul was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him from becoming proud. There was a danger of him becoming proud because of his abilities and because of all the things that God had shown him. And it says that he was taken up to heaven and he saw things that no eye could see or ear could imagine, things so great he couldn't even speak of them. And he had this thorn in the flesh. And before this, it says that he was shipwrecked, says he was beaten, says he was hunted, says that he was adrift at sea for nights at a time, that he was beaten 39 lashes five different times, which 39 lashes in that culture meant that's how many times it could beat you before it killed you. So he was beaten half to death. He was stoned. They thought he was dead and they left him. And then he gets back up like a boss. And then he goes into the city where they stoned him and starts preaching again. He doesn't say anything like he didn't cry out to God about those things. But there was a thorn in the flesh. And it says he cried out for it to be removed. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 12 says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, friends, there's times in our lives where the pruning or cleaning process is not very pleasant. There's circumstances we don't understand. The thorns in the fleshes. Says Jesus looked at his disciples and says, you're gonna have many trials and you're gonna have many sorrows, but don't lose heart because I have overcome the world. Brothers and sisters, God has overcome the world, amen? He's bigger than your pain and your suffering. He's bigger than your sorrow or your sin. He's bigger than your whatever you fill in the blank. But we have a choice. Will we abide in him? There was an instance in the Gospels that we mentioned throughout the series. I believe it was in the Bread of Life where the people didn't understand and they left him, many of his disciples. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, are you gonna leave me too? And Peter said something profound. He says, you have the very words of life. Where else will we go? In our valley moments, in our thorns of the flesh moments where we don't understand what God is doing or why he's allowing it, says that God's grace is sufficient for you. Meaning in your insecurities, he's sufficient for you, his grace. In your sin, his grace is sufficient for you. In your abilities or inabilities, his grace is sufficient for you. And then he says something that I don't really like. He says, I boast, I take pleasure in. I'm like, ugh, I don't agree with that part. I don't really take pleasure in it. Now, God doesn't allow God doesn't cause every bad thing. We're in a fallen world. People make bad decisions. People make terrible decisions that hurt us. But Jesus came to redeem, and it says that he works all things for the good. But in our valleys, when we're being pruned, when we're being cleaned by the message, when people say things that we don't want to hear, but they're true because there are godly people who say you're out of line and you have pride in your life and it's not good and you need to be connected. All these things are designed to help us as we are bearing fruit so that we can bear even more fruit. And would you choose to trust him even in your valley moments? Remember here, he says that he has already to his disciples cleaned or purified or pruned them by the message that has been given. The Bible says that God has given us everything that we need to live a godly life. That God has promised, I love you, I have redeemed you, I have called you good in my eyes, I've made you flawless, nothing in yourself, but because of Jesus, I've already given you the promise that is all that you need. Would you remain in it? Would you walk in it? Would you make your home in it? Because what you abide in is what you will produce. What we choose to abide in is what we will produce. Do we abide in the fruit of self? Do we abide in the fruit of the world and what the world says will produce fruit or give you meaning or purpose? Or will we remain in the message that already has been given? The same message in this example, when Jesus was baptized, When Jesus was baptized, it says that he heard a voice from the Father that said, "This is my son who I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit came on him and descended like a dove, and he was led into the wilderness. We talked about this throughout this series. And then the devil just tried to get him to doubt the words that have already been proclaimed over him. The message that has already been declared, that we are good in God's eyes in our faith, that we can walk in repentance. He has already given us the message. Would we choose to remain and hold on to it? He is the one who is shaping us, cleansing us, transforming us. In Jeremiah 18, there was an instance where God told one of the prophets to go down to the potter's house. And so he went down to the potter's house and he saw the potter making and shaping something in Jeremiah 18. And it says that the potter didn't like how it had turned out, so he crushed it down and started over. And the Lord said, "You are so as the clay is in the potter's hands, so you are in my hands." You see, as we remain in him, sometimes we get crushed by certain situations, don't we? Sometimes it's hard and we don't understand what he's shaping in us and how he's molding us and what he's doing in us and what he's allowing around us. And he's shaping us. And this promise is, "I am shaping you. Would you trust me? Would you remain in me? Would you know my voice? Would you hang on to the message that has already been declared?" Says those who choose not to remain, is what Jesus said, and don't bear fruit are thrown away like a useless branch. It's another statement. I don't like that. I don't like that terminology very much, guys. But here is a thing I want to vary off into to help us understand this. And you'll understand what I'm doing here in a minute. This is 1 John 4:19. Says, "God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Jumping down to verse 16, "We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love," don't miss this, "such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us." Back to his statement, those who choose not to remain and don't bear fruit are thrown away like a useless branch. Well, how is a useless branch thrown away in this process and in this analogy? It says that God showed the world how much he loves us. 1 John says that we know how much he loves us and we have put our trust in his love. The reality is, friends, is that God has shown so much love that he has poured out, he has opened the floodgates of love, that he is love itself, that that perfect love expels all fear, that when it is realized and received and it is applied in one's life, the natural inclination of things that happen when you're entrenched, if you think about something that you've completely watered and drowned it in water, he has drowned us in his love. And out of that love, fruit produces. When you're entrenched in love, when you're remaining in it and who he is and what he's done, then it says, if you aren't bearing fruit, it's because you have discarded it all, that you don't care. That in your sin, the mercy that God has given, not only do people remain in their sin and call sin not what it is, which is destructive, there are people who don't admit that sin is sin. Not only that, but they spit on or trample on the grace of God like it's meaningless. You see, here, this terminology, the branch gets discarded, not because God doesn't love it, not because God doesn't want it in eternity, wants us in eternity. He has opened the floodgates of mercy and love, and those who continually hear it or have been given time to receive it or shown it through God's people and God's word and the message that goes out, when someone says, forget it, I don't want it, then it is tossed aside because that is the choice that they are making. They don't want God's love. Today, I want to ask you this. Are you receiving God's free gift and love today in your life? Or have you listened to the voice of not the good shepherd, but the enemy, who makes you think you can't have it in your life, that you don't deserve it, which you don't, but it's free? You see, in this analogy, perfect love casts out fear. I used to go, oh, well, then I've just not experienced love because I have fear, and then it would perpetuate my fear. But that is not the case here. It is an invitation to allow God's perfect love to hit your heart, to let that cast out all fear that you have. When you look into what Jesus has done for you and his mercy, that produces fruit in our lives. Back to statements. It says, remain in me and let my words remain in you. See, God has given his message and his word. And he says, let that remain in you. Hear it today. He goes on and says, his true disciples are the ones who follow his commands and they love each other. Friends, it says that when you receive Jesus, when you have that love in your life, that his true disciples will then be people who go out and who love. When you are shown love, when you are forgiven much, when God has been patient with you, when God has given you mercy, he says, when you experience this, the fruit that happens is we go out and love. Does anyone have anyone in their life that's not very lovable? Do you ever look at them and go, oh, it's like looking in a mirror sometimes? Or you go, oh, they're so much more unlovable than me. I have a secret for you. Yeah. See, all of us have been unlovable. And not just past tense, every single day, even as believers, who chooses sin? We do. We have sin in our lives. And God continuously extends his love and his mercy to us. And it is a choice of dependence that chooses to lay down one's life for his friends, to lay down one's life and to love, to lay down the fruit of self and to express the fruit of the Spirit, to lay down what we desire so that others can understand this mercy and this grace that has been extended to us that they too can possess. And here's the reality. Jesus calls the abundant life a life of sacrifice. Because when we are laying our lives down and we are putting others first and God first, that is where fulfillment is. It's not in the fruit of self and me and I and mine. It says Jesus himself, the Son of God, God himself, did not come. He did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. 1 John 5 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father, listen to this, loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commands. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are no longer burdensome. You see, before the commands were burdensome when I'd get caught with sin, and I was just mad that I got caught with sin and I didn't want the consequences. Now when I sin, you know what's burdensome? That I sinned. I hate it. What's burdensome to me is my heart that's heavy because when I choose the fruit of self, it makes me inwardly mourn because I know it was wrong. I know sin is what it is as I remain in Christ and his love hits me. And then when I don't exhibit that love to others, what's burdensome is that I failed. My desire is to follow God. And in these things, this invitation to remain in him, this is his last statement. He says, as the Father has loved me and I have loved you, remain in my love for you. Have you drifted from remaining in the promise, remaining in his love for you and his constant mercy given to you freely in Jesus? He says, remain in my love for you, because if you want to produce fruit, it's not you getting into salvation and then going out and working for it by the sweat of your effort. It's by remaining in what Jesus has said of us. And obeying his commandments means loving others. You see, we don't love others and then he loves us. He loves us and then we love others.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.